Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And happy Friday, everyone. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, apparently the president's got a bad memory. Apparently he thinks the rest of us have a bad memory, too. As usual, the president spent much of yesterday fundraising. The president was off on his West Coast swing. All the attention was on his big shindig at George Clooney's house and his $15 million haul. But he also spent a little bit of time in Seattle talking about his supposedly great economic turnaround. And here's how it came out in his speech.
So it was a house of cards, and it collapsed in the most destructive, worst crisis that we've seen since the Great Depression. And sometimes people forget the magnitude of it. You know, and you saw some of that, I think, in the video that was shown. Sometimes I forget.
Now, the implication there, Jim, of course, is that he's so awesome and the economy is so great now that it's just impossible to think about how bad the economy was 3 years ago. But the Romney campaign, as you point out in the Jolt today, and the RNC, out within minutes with not only the video of that, a statement about it, but within less than a half an hour, I think, a full rebuttal about how the president's apparently forgotten to actually try to create jobs, reduce the price at the pump, talking about how women have borne the brunt of the job losses in this country. This is clearly a response team that's on its A game pretty early here.
It is, and it's one of those things. I just, you know, put that in the Jolt to tell readers this is how basically every day from now until at least the summer and probably all through the fall is going to go. Obama will say something, and you can make your jokes about him being off the teleprompter. I think what he's trying to say with those statements is, look, you people aren't giving me enough credit. What I inherited was so bad that, you know, people forget how bad it was. If you remember, then you wouldn't feel so bad about the job that I'm doing. You know, grade me on a curve. I'm trying really hard here. And it's kind of an implicit, you know, criticism of his audience and his voters. Instead, the other implication is that he's forgotten how bad the economy is. And I'm not so sure that's really, of all the arguments against Obama, I'm not sure how much stock I would put into that one. But, you know, Team Romney's not going to, you know, look a gift horse in the mouth. They will pump this out there, and it worked. And they're doing this, and everyone in our world, conservative bloggers and tweeters and podcasters and writers and columnists and all these folks will write about it. Meanwhile, as we'll see in Martini number two, the media will do the you know, same thing on Romney. You know, every, you know, Romney saying, I'm not concerned about the very poor or whatever. And they'll try to say, aha, that statement is what reveals everything you need to know about our opponent, et cetera. And this is the way it's going to be. I'm more concerned, Greg, that Barack Obama's policies have failed than the idea that he's actually forgotten about how bad the economy is. But nonetheless, this is good to know that the president is always going to be providing the Romney campaign new material. I think it says something that he didn't even realize it. You know what I'm saying? That no one around him seemed to think it was a big deal that he was saying, I forget how bad the economy was. You know, he also said something like the economy is so much worse than anybody thought at the time in a recent, you know, interview with a local television reporter, which basically is saying, look, when I was assessing the economy, I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea it was bad. I thought it was only a little bit bad, and it turned out to be really, really bad. That's how we made that terrible chart, and that's how the stimulus didn't work there.
On to Martini number two now, and as you alluded to, Jim, we have unearthed, at least the Washington Post has, just a ruthless scandal involving Mitt Romney from the mid-1960s. So this is clearly relevant to today's campaign. The story is pretty extensive. It paints Mitt Romney as this elite prep school kid back in the 60s, and he had been overseas, came back from spring break, and decided that a kid with long hair was weird in 1965, which it kind of was because the hippie movement hadn't really taken off yet. So he and some of his other prep school friends decided to give this kid an involuntary haircut, which is not nice. We don't condone bullying at all. Mitt Romney has even apologized for this, even though he doesn't remember the incident. But the Washington Post decides to run this story the same day they're cheering on the president's evolving on gay marriage by saying that Romney probably presumed this kid was gay back in 1965, which Romney says nobody even thought about back then. So clearly the Washington Post are trying to drudge up whatever they can here, even if it goes back to the mid-60s, to try and tarnish Mitt Romney as the good old boy.
Yeah, a couple of thoughts here, because I think this kind of, you know, the fact that this got huge play yesterday, and then on today's print edition of the Washington Post, it is sprawled across the front page. Not quite 9/11 level font size, but it gets real. Lots of photos. It's, you know, across three or four columns. It gets a ton of play. A couple points worth making here. The first is that if events occurred as described in the article, then that's a really terrible thing for 17-year-old Mitt Romney to do. Now, for perspective on how long ago this was, Greg, at the time of this incident, Barack Obama had not even eaten a dog yet. Now, since this story came out, there have been several folks who have said, well, wait a second, this is not quite as the, you know, as described in this article. One of the persons in the article who says how haunted he is by it did not know about it at the time. And what he meant was, if he's quoted as saying it's haunted him his whole life, and what he really is coming out and saying to ABC News today is, what I meant was, it's haunted me since I heard about it earlier this year. So we're quoting non-witnesses. With Romney apologizing for it, he says he doesn't remember it. It's very hard to believe that these folks made it up out of whole cloth. The idea that and his friends, and it, you know, comes across as very jerky. But what's intriguing is that most of these quotes, folks who are quoted in the article, are either Obama volunteers, openly Democrats. One person used to be chairman of a Michigan County Republican Party, but who has since left the party. There was all of these guys, many of whom were interviewed about articles for Romney 4 years ago, when Romney was not the front runner for the Republican nomination. I had plenty of time to tell this story. And for some reason, only when Mitt Romney becomes the Republican nominee do they suddenly remember, oh, hey, here's this story that just happens to make him look monstrous. And oh, by the way, we're going to, you know, talk about it the day after the president comes out in support of gay marriage, and a timing which is just either a phenomenal coincidence or, you know, this is the Washington Post just happening to be on the same page as the Obama campaign. The other intriguing article you mentioned, the idea is that, you know, allegedly this student was gay, or the perception was that he was gay. This is why this resonates in light of the news of earlier in the week. The family of this gentleman has come out and said this article is not accurate. They do not want to talk to the press about it, but they said it was not accurate. So, look, at this point, it's a big fog. Who knows what really happened? But here's an intriguing thought. Greg, is it possible this man was not gay?
Obviously.
If so, how would you like your deceased loved one to be on the front page of the Washington Post as this national symbol of victim of gay bashing by the Republican nominee when he wasn't gay? Yeah. It's always interesting to look at the early lives of candidates. I made my dog eating joke earlier. Clearly, childhood and thing, you know, teen years and young adulthood, you know, it shapes a person in part when they reach their 50s or 60s, like President Obama or Mitt Romney. But when you're really trying to figure out what kind of a president these people would be, I think their recent records are a lot more revealing. I don't think we need to play, you know, armchair Freud and look back and say, aha, this incident when they were this age, something, you know. In other words, if you're really going to vote against Barack Obama because he ate a dog at age, you know, 6 to 10 or something, please write into Campaign Spot. I'll give you a whole bunch of better reasons, okay? It's not really, you know, it's funny because, the media thinks that the Seamus on the roof story is the most defining, you know, pinnacle moment of Mitt Romney's life. But in the end, this sort of stuff kind of reveals that I think this entire election is going to be these two campaigns contesting the, you know, handful of voters, maybe 6-7% of voters, who are genuinely undecided, who are genuinely persuadable, and who, Greg, this is the important point, don't really care about policy. So the entire campaigns are basically driven on what kind of personal anecdotes can we find that would make the opposition look like a horrible person. And thus, you know, Romney put his dog on the roof, and, you know, Obama ate a dog, and Obama did drugs back when he was in high school. And you know, like, really, in the end, I don't think any of this stuff should really be that central in a campaign argument. But, you know, you don't go into an election with the media environment you'd like to have, Greg. You know, Secretary Rumsfeld, you go into an election with the media environment you have, and this is what we have.
Just to recap now, what the president has said in recent days and has done over the last 3 years, not so important. What Mitt Romney did 30 years ago and maybe even 50 years ago, critically important. So you might come to the conclusion that the media is choosing sides in campaigning, and there is someone who you might not expect who agrees with that entirely.
The idea that one of these campaigns is positive and the other is negative, when I know the reverse is true and I have seen it and I have been blistered by it for months, is a little tough to take. Just because of the sanitizing coverage that's in the media doesn't mean the facts aren't out there.
That's Bill Clinton, obviously, from 2008, after he was finally on the receiving end of the media bias when the mainstream press decided to go with Obama over his wife. And that leads us to martini number three. This is a story out of Hot Air, and they have decided that there is a pretty good reason why nose over his skis Joe Biden is still on the ticket, at least at this point, for 2012, and not Hillary Clinton. And that's because last year, Bill Clinton was still trying to get Hillary to mount a primary challenge to Obama this year, which obviously she ultimately didn't do. But there's still clearly bad blood. That same speech that we just played an excerpt of was the same one where Bill Clinton called Barack Obama's solid and consistent judgment on the Iraq war a fairy tale. Just because he's doing a little ad for Obama on the bin Laden raid doesn't mean there's not still a lot of bad blood from 4 years ago.
Greg, I want you to listen to me. I'm only going to say this once. I did not have ambitious relations with that woman, Ms. Clinton. I've always kind of figured that Bill Clinton was not unbelievably up inside when Al Gore lost in 2000 or when John Kerry lost in 2004. This, you know, Bill Clinton was the only two-term Democratic president since FDR. I think he kind of liked his special role of that. I think that there was always a clear tensions between Obama and Bill Clinton. The idea these are two guys who don't really like each other that much, despite all appearances. The Jody Cantor book has some very interesting anecdotes in this category. It's unsurprisingly that Bill Clinton thinks his wife would make a better president than Barack Obama. What's really interesting is the idea that he would be fanning the flames of her presidential ambitions. Obviously, it's only one book making this claim, but as we look at the entire history of the Bill Clinton-Barack Obama relationship, it's not that implausible that he would see that and that he would, you know, when, you know, you think back to the Clinton years, and some right-of-center listeners of this podcast are probably going to disagree, but look, Greg, don't the Clinton years look like a golden age right now? Welfare reform, low unemployment, booming economy. Our military actions overseas in the name of humanitarianism without checking with the UN. That has continued like that. but really, looking back, there are a lot of ways in which good old philandering Bill Clinton, did enough things to make, give a conservative a smile. And this was not something we see in this administration. A shame it didn't happen. I would let Bill Clinton know that Keith Judd is still out there. This is the felon who is still running for president in West Virginia from a jail cell in Texas. And President Clinton, you and Mr. Judd have some stuff in common, a little bit of trouble with the law, and maybe you guys could bond over that. So Clinton for Judd, 2012, and be interesting to see that. It's interesting in light of these primary results of earlier this week that the Hillary Clinton voters of 2008 are the Democrats who are still not are just not happy with the compromise they made for Barack Obama in 4 years ago.
Jim, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you later.
Looking forward to it, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful Mother's Day to all the moms out there. We'll talk to you back on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.